All right, so let's get into it.
I'm so lost of in this
right.
conversation.
Yeah. We are going to
talk
cry,
about dude. You'll cry when you watch it. It's amazing.
Steve and F. So we're...
One more thing.
Okay, I'm kidding. We're going to talk about a subject, in all honesty, we have not talked about here in the 53-year history of Rancho Church. No joke. It is in the Bible. It is hanging out there. It's just a very awkward subject, or could be a very awkward subject. In fact, we were planning on preaching on this subject, I think, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. But somebody checked it out. I think it was you. Either way, we did not do it on the Life Plan series a few years back. Yeah.
And so we're doing it.
Yes.
Now, here it is. You ready? Brace yourself. Are you ready to take better care of your body? Now.
Woo!
This is replete with landmines. In fact, no joke. We met on Wednesday as a staff, and we talk about the series coming up. We spent more time talking about this sermon today than any other sermon we've ever talked about at our staff meeting. And it was like, don't do this, don't do that. Yeah. There's a landmine, there's a pitfall. Don't.
Yeah, Krista kept going like, you're not going to say that, right? You're not going to talk about, yeah, that's going to do, you know, it's very sensitive. And yes, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of stuff involved
Lots
in it.
Lots of comparisons,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and she
and
kept
staff
saying that.
And a meeting that I was not at, but yet I got volunteered to be a part of this discussion, so.
Give it to Jenny.
There you go.
Everyone just go after the Treadway family. Just go after those Treadway family.
I got a phone call from Scott Wednesday afternoon. Hey, you want to help?
What a great idea. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad both of you are here. Now, Dion, at the end of that staff meeting, said, I'm doing this. You didn't give us a choice.
I love this subject.
Yeah, and you're like, let's do it. Yeah. So here's the deal. It is replete with pitfalls because it can be, you know, so full of guilt and so full of shame. And, you know, we live in a culture where we're comparing ourselves to each other and all that. And we'll talk about this stuff as we go. But there is a healthy gray space, no guilt, no judgment, no shame way of looking at. There's a real sophisticated theology about our bodies in here, and a real gracious invitation to take better care of our bodies and to just live with more well-being. There's a gracious way to do that that I am 100% confident. Every one of us at the end of this half an hour is going to think to themselves, you know what? That was good. It wasn't piled on. It wasn't heavy. No guilt, no shame, no judgment, no condemnation. But see, you know what? There's one or two things I think I'm going to start doing.
Yeah, and I think if we were to ask people, like how many, in a group like this, how many of you wish, like, maybe I ate a little bit or did a little bit more? It's something that I think all of us think about, right? That's what makes it hard. It's personal. And so, yeah, I think I feel good about what we're doing. It's been a lot of fun.
I do, too.
Yeah. We just want people to feel empowered as they leave.
Yeah, empowered in a positive way. So far, I don't think we have done anything wrong this morning. There's still 28 minutes to go, so we very well may. But there are quite a bit of, you know, good things happening in our culture around the idea of body image and body acceptance. In fact, I guarantee you watch the Super Bowl commercials today, which is one of the main reasons I'm watching, and you will see a celebration of every body type today on those commercials, because there's an intentional effort to embrace different body types, right?
Yeah, which has been great. I mean, we've noticed that the last few years, right? It's been, you know, you just see it more and more. So I was even talking to a friend, and she had been at Target recently and had noticed that the mannequins were just kind of more of a normal, you know, body shape. And she appreciated that. You know, it's like some of those mannequins are just so unrealistic. It's like, that's not what our bodies look like. But she actually ended up buying the outfit that was on the mannequin because she said she knew it would look good on her body type. So.
And even with kids programming, you look at kids programming at the younger ages all the way through teenage programming, you will see that the actors have more a variety of body types and that they're intentionally, explicitly celebrating different kinds of people. We're all wired different. And there's, I think, an industry-wide understanding that they have not done well in terms of presenting a normal body and celebrating a standard of beauty that is, frankly, unattainable. In fact, there was a study, this was quite a while ago, of thousands of men and what their ideal of beauty is, and they selected a body shape that is anatomically unattainable for any woman. And that's everybody's fault, right?
Aren't we awesome?
We're fantastic. Yeah, fantastic people. We're so proud. But truly, I mean, it does say a lot about culture and about what culture presents as a standard of beauty. And
then the pressure that women face, we know we can't attain that, you know, so then we feel bad and, you know, just feel a lot of pressure that we can't be that, so.
I think that's particularly true of women, and particularly true of young women. There's a lot of study now on really the damage that is done to young women, particularly from, you know, say Instagram, and there's beauty models on Instagram, and the angles and the filters and all of it, it just is simply an unattainable reality. Every camera you buy right now and every social media platform has these filters that cause you to look way better than you actually look, right? I mean,
You know, we talked to our daughter about that, who's in middle school. It's like, okay, what you see on, you know, Instagram, Snapchat, all that, I mean, that is just not real life. That is not how they look. I mean, we know all the filters that they're using. So just don't compare yourself to that. And it's, you know, it's easy to say, but it's hard to actually put into practice, I think, as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, we're on Zoom a lot, and as all of us are, I'm sure. And so, you know, you open up Zoom, and there it is, a little bit of a face filter. And I'm thinking, then I played with it. I'm like, ooh, that looks pretty good. And that looks terrible. So I'm going to keep it right in the middle. I mean,
you mean during a Zoom meeting, you can do a filter on your
phone? Yes.
Oh, I got to figure this out.
It makes you look a lot younger.
Yeah, you look a lot better than you clearly do now. Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's not just, and we talk about, I think we think about our kids and our teenager, what they're facing, but anything you talk about now, right? All of a sudden you click on your Instagram and there's ads. What do I get? Are you over 50? You can look like me, right? Over and over and over again. The same thing. The same thing of a dude that's ripped and healthy and just eat this or do that. So it's attacking whatever, you know, wherever you're at and whatever you talk about pops up then with these algorithms and stuff. And it's pretty crazy how much I still wrestle with it. It's not like it's gone away. I'm over this, you know. No, I still look at that, and maybe it would work. Maybe I should take that. Maybe I should do that workout, you know, app, and that's what I need. So, yeah.
Just to tag along off of something Jenny said, I remember I've been in the music industry a long time, and I just remember being in different, like, photo shoots or anything like that, and somebody be like, oh, I'd be like, oh, shoot, man, something's on my face. And the people are like, oh, yeah, we'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, what? You'll take care of the zit that's on my face? Yeah, we got it. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, how in the world are they going to do this? And they did it. And I was at a photo shoot with some Colgate models. And they actually did a shoot. And they had beautiful smiles. Don't get me wrong. But their teeth wasn't as white as the Colgate commercial showed. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, okay, you know what? There is some, like, different things that people are doing, and I just remember seeing some people, different artists and different people who, you know, in the music industry, who I would see them on a magazine, and I would be like, oh my gosh, they're beautiful, you know, or very good looking as a man. And then I'll see them in person, I'll be like,
you ain't that good looking.
This is not the same person. And I realized it was the same thing that happened with me, them removing my zit. Was the same thing that they did with moving all the blemishes and all that kind of thing.
Well, that's Photoshop, right? Everything you see on any magazine is Photoshopped. All the imperfections are taken out. I mean, to the point where they're making faces symmetrical and bodies, you know, the shape that we kind of see as the ideal. So even though there's been a lot of progress in media and marketing, there's a long, long way to go. And it's not just the standard of beauty that's necessarily in marketing. It's some of our experiences growing up. I mean, I remember as a small kid getting made fun of because I was skinny. And that, I mean, from youngest ages, that set in my soul. I identified myself as the skinny kid that was going to be made fun of. And so I wore winter jackets all year long just so people wouldn't see how skinny I was. And this is an insecurity every single day. I'm getting dressed. I'm this scrawny kid. I got to put on this winter coat so people don't make fun of how skinny I was. And through high school, and if I were to be honest, probably even beyond that into my college years, just identifying myself by this body image.
Yeah, and I'm probably a little opposite of that, right? Because so growing up, I have two sisters, and they both are taller than me, so we all have different body types. But I was shopping with my grandma, and she did not mean anything by this, but I had to buy, like, the plus size. And she said, honey, you're just pleasingly plump. And I remember thinking, I know she doesn't mean that as a negative thing, but I took it just like as a negative thing. And truly, like, that kind of defined how I saw myself as, you know, I have, I mean, still, like, struggle with that a little bit. Like, I'm always see myself as, like, pleasingly plump.
Well, and that's from the youngest ages. I mean, we're talking about elementary school.
Yeah, like nine, I think.
Nine years old, and same thing with me. That's that same age. And so we're permanently identifying ourselves by this body image that, whether it's culture or, you know, sometimes even from family or just little comments that might not have even been intended as harmful, it sets in deeply, right? Yeah. So we've got a lot of things to think about. I love Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 4:4. This is 3,000 years ago. Same things happening. Same comparisons are happening. Sizing ourselves up against other people. He says, "I observe that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors, but this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind." No Instagram 3,000 years ago, but still everybody was sizing up everybody in terms of their physical appearance, in terms of their beauty. He goes on to say that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. And so here he is as an older man thinking back on his life, and he was chasing money and he was chasing looks and he was chasing everything under the sun. And he realized, you know, all of this was just kind of a rat race that went nowhere, and it all is fleeting and it all disappears, and kind of like, you know, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And I think we have to ask ourselves the same questions. You know, what are we doing chasing all this standard of beauty that's unattainable? What are we doing, you know, defining ourselves by comparing ourselves with other people when we are different and we are unique? But as we get going here, I want us to understand that we have freedom to be who we are and to enjoy who we are and to know that there are different body types, and we don't have to fit ourselves into any one particular mold. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. But there is in God's word an understanding that our bodies really do matter. Our bodies really do matter. I would add a lot. And the reason I add a lot is because this is the one body we have, right? This is it. And, you know, we get a house, we move into the house, and we know that we got to maintain the house and clean the house. This is our house, right? This is where we live. This one body that we have. And it needs to be maintained and it needs to be clean, right? And so there's this gracious invitation to embrace this body, to love this body as it is, but to also say, you know what, there's a way to maintain this. There is a way to clean this, to make sure we can make some little decisions that could make a really big impact in our lives. I love how the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians. He says, we live in these earthly tents. This is our tent. We live in it. We may groan and sigh in this tent. So we may have some problems here and there, some aches and pains. You know, the older I get an ache and a pain. I had a left knee problem a couple days ago, and I like, that's going to last a while. 20 years ago, I would have been gone in an hour. This is going to be a week. And so in our bodies, in these tents, we sigh and we groan. But it's not that we want to get rid of these bodies that clothe us. We want to treasure them. They're gifts of God, right?
Yep. You know, and it comes down to where we're talking about, like, motivations. You know, motivations, that Ecclesiastes passage has always stuck out to me too. I'll never forget when I went to India for the first time, and we hiked way back into this village, and the first thing I see is a guy plowing the field with an ox, like literally walking behind it. And I sat there and said, man, I could bring in like a Chevy truck. They would have no idea what that is and they wouldn't care, but I bring in three oxen and they would be like, dude, there's a rich guy. I want what that guy has. And so motivation is a big thing. And I love when you're talking about that our bodies do matter. We all have stories of why we become like we become. One of them for me is my dad, who was my hero, was the athlete, was all American, everything, was strong, was everything. And then at 59 years old, he gets a brain tumor and he dies in a month. And as a 30-year-old, you watch your hero just go away. And it seemed like a long ways down the road when I was 30 and he was 59. I'm 55 now. You know, and so your body is important, you know. And so we do have to think about our motives, think about, like, why are we doing the thing, so I'm not stuck in the Instagram, like, you can look like this, dude, you know, while at the same time, I don't want to say, like, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll just don't care, because I have my own kids now that are a few years away from being where I was at that time, and it was just so special. I had a guy come up to me after, goes, hey, I just want to let you know, my dad died at 57, my brother at 47, my other one at 50, and I'm 90.
Wow.
You know, so be encouraged, you know. Cool. And it was like, thanks, man, you know, and a guy that's taking care of himself. And so, yeah, so motives and why we do what we do. It's the hardest thing about Christianity, right? Give me a list of things to do and don't do, then I feel good about myself. Don't make me think and make me think of my motive and ask, why am I doing it, and wrestling with that, because that means I might have to consider that I'm obsessed in some ways, even on the super healthy side, maybe. Why at other times, maybe I'm being just, I don't know, lazy at the same time, you know? And it's just having to wrestle through where we're at, you know?
Well, having good motives is the key. We talked about kind of bad motives, right? Bad motives could be you know, the list of expectations, you know, do this, and you know, I got to. That really never lasts. A bad motive is comparing each other either to our neighbor or Instagram or whatever. But there are good motives as well, you know, staying healthy for your kids, you know, wanting to live a longer and more enjoyable quality of life. Those are good motives. Recognizing that our bodies are a temple of the Spirit. I mean, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. It's this incredible gift that we have from God. So honor God with your body. The Apostle Paul also says about a motivation for doing something good for our own bodies. He says in verse 12, you say I'm allowed to do anything. And this is sort of the Epicurean Greek culture. You know, I can do anything. And gluttony was a big part of this as well. But Paul says, not everything is good for you. So think through that filter. Think through that lens. Yeah, we're free. But is everything really good? And to think, okay, well, if it's good for me, I want to do it. If it's not, maybe I should think twice about it. Even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. So the irony here is this Epicurean Roman culture, and they're just taking it all in, right? They have this huge Roman Empire. They have anything they want, and they're consuming all of it, whether it's, you know, food or entertainment, even violence, even sexuality, and they're taking it all in. Like, we're the top of the world. We can do it all. We have it all. Paul says, well, in all that freedom, you've actually become a slave to things that are harmful. And Paul is graciously saying it's time to do things that are good for you and not keep doing the things that are bad for you.
You know, my journey, I've always trained myself and had this whole mindset that I was going to be playing football, being in the NFL. When I entered high school, I was 6'4", 280. I exited high school at 6'5", 325, and was moving on to play football at Kansas State. And before you play football in college, you have to have a physical, and before, if you have had any injuries, you have to see a specialist about those injuries. And so, with that being said, I had broken my ankle twice. And as I was talking to the doctor, he was like, can I just be real with you? And I was like, yeah. He was like, I'm looking at your ankle, and I'm seeing, and I know for sure that if you injure this one more time, you're gonna have to get surgery, right? That's just mandatory. Also, you're living this life as this professional musician and you've been doing this for a long time. And he was like, that's already a dream. He was like, the beating that your body will take going to playing football and all that. He said, I believe you could do it. I mean, that's why you're sitting here, right? And I'm like, yeah. He was like, but I don't know if it'll be worth it for you later on, especially because right now I have to prescribe you 4 hours of rehab every single day on top of your football schedule. And I was like, what? Like, I was like, I would have no time to do anything. And at that moment, the love for playing just kind of just, and I could feel myself being like, oh, I don't want to spend 4 hours, especially the way he was pulling my leg and my ankle was tweaking. And I mean, my leg was shaking in ways I never saw it shake. I was like, I can't do this for no 4 hours every single day. So, you know, that was my journey. But I kept eating. And like I was playing football, and all of a sudden, this stomach grew a little bit bigger. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, and it just making these small choices that we were talking about, just making small choices can help make those
decisions. So talk about your journey, because you and Steve developed a friendship and being on staff here, and you're on a road that is, actually, we're frankly very proud of you and rooting for you in your journey. Tell us a little about that.
So in my journey, I'm actually doing a program called the 75 Hard with Steve and a couple of other people from Rancho. And 75 Hard simply means that we're working out twice a day. We're doing one workout outside, one workout inside, and we're drinking a gallon of water.
Reading some stuff, yeah.
And so with that being said, I have found that just making these little changes, being able to have friends and my wife going through this journey with me has just been super helpful. And I've just been super excited, and I've been seeing changes. It's like, oh, you lost a pound this week. And I'm like, wow. You know. And it's just from the little things of like, you know what, instead of having those three cookies, I'm going to walk away today. I'm going to walk away. And so it's those types of things. And so I've been on a journey, and my journey is going to is a big one. You know, I'm not where I was needing to lose 300 pounds, but I'm not where I'm supposed to be either. And so I'm just glad that I'm on this journey, that I'm going the right direction. And that's really all I need to do, really.
Well, yeah, you know, and I still remember in your classroom quite a few months ago, man, we sat down and probably talked for 2 hours that day, and you just opened up, and it was like anything else. And so I'm already one that's where I want to be and kind of doing it. But, you know, you had him reach out and says, hey, I'm going to do this thing. Will you keep me accountable? And so a buddy of mine goes, heck yeah, and we're doing it too. And I think that kind of blew you away a little. Like, I can't believe you're doing it with us. And it's been huge for us too. And being in a community and knowing you're not alone and taking those steps, you know. So I'm proud of him too. And it's a lot of fun.
And your dog is happy now.
And my dog, you know. So, you know, we'll talk about like little steps. But part of it is just doing two workouts a day. One has to be outside and one could be walking. And I remember when I was 49, I was reading an article like what to do at 50. And it was like walk. And I'm like, oh, come on. Is this my workout now? Walking?
You've arrived.
Well, it is my workout now. Walking. Like doing a 45-minute walk. And my dog is like 9 years old. She's like so much more active. She's so excited. I'm like, oh, you're changing my dog's life. And, you know, it really, yeah, exactly. And it is really cool. And it's cool that we're doing something together and you're being accountable. But we're also grace-based, right? I think the fear is that God looks. So even when you read that passage, right? Your body's a temple of God. Honor God with your body. I think our fear is that all of a sudden you think God's looking you away if you're not taking care of it. That's what we want to be free from. We want to be free from God loves us. He's walking with us. You don't have to feel that. But at the same time, it affects your mental well-being. It affects how you feel about yourself. And when Jesus said, like, love others as you love yourself, I watch people that really do it. I think it is spiritual. Because our mindset and how we feel about ourselves, it makes a difference. And having people in the 75 hard, mind you, if you don't do one of the days, you're supposed to start over again. Well, we said, we're not going to do that. You know, I don't want Dion to feel like he's falling back. We're moving forward. We're not falling back. We're continuing our journey and not like start all over again. Ah, you know,
yeah,
and
that's like
part of the
right?
Counting.
Right.
You talk about that counting and how do we need to move away from that? And
so this is where I love this journey because it's about relationship. It's about friendship. You guys aren't doing this as some kind of a heavy accountability dude, but you're walking together in a grace-filled journey toward a goal because everybody has to find their thing, right? I'll be honest. I'm not doing 75 hard. I'm not doing it. I'm not
you could do
this.
It, Scott. Come on, join our group. You can
hey,
do it.
I could.
I don't think you can.
But that's not the way I'm wired. I'm not wired for like the 75 day in a row thing. I'm wired a little bit more casually, right? So, but I've got to find my own thing, and you found your thing as well, right?
Yes.
And because that's the goal is to find something that works for
us. Yeah, something that works for you. So when we were first dating, we both joined a gym, and I honestly hated it. Like, I hated the gym. I didn't like going. I didn't enjoy, like, exercising with other people. I've realized I'm like a soul. I can't think
we're
of my...
We're not a private...
Yeah, no, I had another word for it. Anyways, but yeah, I like exercising just on my own. So I get up first thing in the morning and I work out and just do kind of my own thing. And even like when our kids were littler and they'd wake up early, I would get like honestly annoyed because I'm like, this is like my time, you know, for me. And so I really have always carved that time out for myself to just get up first thing in the morning and do it. And yeah, I've just kind of found programs that have worked for me. Running is not one of them. I hate running. So, you know, I've just kind of figured out weight things that I like to do to, you know, to work out.
Yeah, so we tried a gym, I think, for a week when we were dating. Yeah. And it's like, I just can't do it. Now, some people love it. They get up and they love working out and making
with people
and being social. That's just not kind of how we're wired, right? And running, same thing, man. This knee does not like to run. Everything else likes to run. This left knee does not like to run. And so for a while there, I was just pushing on this treadmill and running and feeling it and hurting on this knee. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Because, what, is it cool to brag about how many miles I ran today? And I'm not doing that anymore. I stopped running. I can't do
you
it.
You want the sticker on the back of your car?
Yeah, exactly.
26.2.
Right. No, I'm not going to be a marathon bragger. But I'm a walker. So the little thing I did was I play golf every Friday and just decided I'm not going to drive a cart. We're going to walk. And did a little math in my head, and that's like adding 6 miles of walking to my week, And it's uphills, downhills, your heart rate's in a good spot. So everybody can find that next one little thing that can make a big difference in their life, whatever it might be, whatever your schedule, whatever you like to do. There's definitely
no one size fits all. So he walks a lot now.
Yeah. Jenny, I'm going for a walk. She knows what that means.
Uh-huh.
It's for the family, sweetie.
Yes.
All right. So another thing that's important is to not go after the numbers game, right? Like I have to hit a certain weight or I have to hit a certain weight in a certain time. Now, some people are driven by that. So, hey, if you're driven by that, high numbers, high goals, extreme stuff, knock yourself out. If that's how you're wired, absolutely knock yourself out if it doesn't defeat you. But for a lot of us, it's more about a journey that is about habit change over time. And you were reading some stuff about kind of the seasons or stages of habits that I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it was a really great article. So I was kind of looking, because I've also heard, you know, people say, like, if you do something for 21 days, that forms a habit. So I was kind of researching that a little bit. And then this article popped up, and I thought it was really interesting. So it kind of actually takes it through, like, there's three phases of forming a habit. So the first phase is called the honeymoon phase. So, you know, that's kind of like you're super excited to start it, kind of like, you know, your New Year's goals, right? That you're, now you're going to do this. And then after 2 weeks, you're like, the motivation just isn't there anymore. So, but they're saying to kind of push through that. And then you're going into the next phase, which is the fight through phase. So you're kind of really fighting through just keeping that habit going. And then if you are, you know, kind of fight through that, then the next phase is going to be kind of like you found your groove. I think they call it the second nature. So it just kind of becomes a second nature. So, you know, so if it's working out, if it's just, you know, eating certain things or not eating certain things, it's like it just becomes something that you just have incorporated now into your daily rhythm.
And I love that approach because it recognizes that there is a honeymoon phase. And we started this Ready or Not series at the new year. No secret why. It's new year. Can we make little decisions to make a big impact? And we've talked about a lot of things in life, use of time, family time, walk with God. This one is almost a New Year's resolution that people make on an annual basis, right? Because we know, like you said earlier, Steve, all of us want to do something different to improve our physical health and well-being. This approach, and you found it, I think, in Forbes magazine, it recognizes that there is a honeymoon phase and it will end. That honeymoon phase comes to an end. It's exciting for a couple days until it hurts, and then you have to wake up early again, and you're like, no, no, no. So there's that fight through phase that says you're going to have to push, and this is not going to be fun. Some of this is not going to be fun. You know, saying no to the cookies is not fun sometimes. Waking up 15 minutes earlier is not fun sometimes, right? But that's the push through phase. And then over time, if we're patient enough, it does become a new normal or a new habit. And so we can do that, right? The question always is, well, what if you fail? And this article also recognizes that that's okay. That's part of the deal. 80% of us fail our resolutions. We fail. That's part of the deal. And so if you failed in the past, make a new commitment, do that honeymoon, do that push through. You might fail again, and that's okay. It's this journey that's not a straight line up, for sure. We're going to give about a dozen or 14 practical little things we can do that can make a big difference. This is well-researched. This isn't just stuff we thought of. This is like medical journal grade. These are the most important things we can do to make little changes that have a big impact. I will not do all 14 of these after this message, but I can do one or two. So let's take a look at these. Move a little more. That's a universal truth, right? There you go. Let's go, Dion. And I don't care how old you are.
That doesn't count if one is your workout today, Dion.
Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter your physical limitations. Every single human alive can move a little more. Eat a little less. A lot of it is just simply calorie count. It's not the next little snake oil pill that's going to have you shed the weight because you took this pill. It is simply a calorie count.
You know, a guy mentioned something. Yeah. I had a buddy of mine that lost like 20 pounds at one time by eating his dessert first because he wouldn't finish his meal then totally. And he actually ended up eating less because if he'd eat his whole meal and his dessert, and he swapped that.
There you go.
That might be bad. I might not get the sugar thing and stuff like that. But it was something, you know. It was a little something. And it worked for him.
Well, it's just the calorie count. If that results
in
less calories.
Dion, you can't use that one either.
That's right. You just ruined a lot of lives out there, Steve. Something that is a universal truth is less alcohol. The Bible certainly is not prohibitionist. There's alcohol comfortably all throughout the scripture. The main ceremony of the Christian faith is around a table with alcohol. But it is absolutely, you know, proven that more alcohol typically is not good for people. Less alcohol typically is. More water intake is good. There's some controversy about that, but, you know, it doesn't hurt you. Less processed sugar. You read the science of processed sugar, and wow, it is a toxin. There's no way around it. Less processed meats, a lot on that, and more veggies. Now, there was an article that popped up today, probably because I was talking about this sermon. Article popped up, and I had to research this because I was a skeptic, right? This sounded just absolutely unbelievable. I looked at the data, a study of 225,000 people over time. If you're in your 50s and you eat less processed meat and more veggies, you can add 13 years to your life just by that choice. I mean, incredible stuff. Little decisions that make a big impact. Not everybody's a fan of veggies.
No, I'm not, and he is. So it's always like this thing, like, well, where are the vegetables? I'm like, So I need to start making, I
You're
guess.
You're killing me.
That's my
Scott
thing.
Doesn't like, Scott doesn't like chocolate either that much. It's like, I don't really like chocolate. Mo likes veggies and doesn't like chocolate. Who is this guy, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't like chocolate. He's weird. Okay. I almost didn't marry him because of that.
This is one that I'm terrible at, scheduling physicals.
Yes.
But
I schedule them for him, so he's going in a month.
I'm ashamed that you have to do that, but it is true.
But then it takes 6 months for him to get his blood work done, so.
Anyway, let's just talk about it all. Better sleep's a big deal. Getting your 7 to 8 hours of sleep really does make a big impact. Another article popped up today, just maybe a commitment to go to sleep 30 minutes earlier. If you tend to stay up too late watching TV or social media or whatever, just more sleep is always good. Less stress in your day. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. Being less busy, that's a big deal. Less screen time of all sorts. More quiet time. Could be meditative time. Could be solo time. And this is a big one. I know it's just a few words, but it's a big one. Kicking addiction. I'm going to spend just a couple minutes on this one. That's just a cute little phrase up there, kicking addiction. But there are addictions that absolutely have us, right? And this could be a chemical addiction, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, food addiction. There's a lots of addictions that really have us. And you can't just put up on the screen, kick an addiction. It requires help. It requires expert help. Sometimes requires expert team. And it could be like Celebrate Recovery every single Thursday night here at Rancho for people who just need to kind of get through a habit that's got them by the throat. It could mean therapy, safe harbor counseling we have available. There's a lot there. But for a lot of people, kicking an addiction is the best thing they can do and can sometimes literally save a life. Why is it so difficult to make these changes? What do we think?
Well, you talk about, man, why is it difficult? We talk about the habits. We talk about ways we've been doing things for years and years and years. I think when you think of the results, I think going back to that Instagram thing, my ideal is that the result's gonna make me look like that. And that's what we gotta move away from. So we're still moving away. We're still moving away from a lot of, everything we're doing today is for something 5 years from now, I think, when it comes to health stuff. And those small little, you know, you built your house. I remember when I went and you're tilting your wall up and, man, you get off just a quarter of an inch. By the time you get down to where the end is, you're completely off. I think good things are the same way. You know, I don't think we sometimes believe that we're so immediate. I want the immediate satisfaction. But you really realize you do that one small thing, it can make a huge positive thing down the road. Dallas Willard is one of my favorites when it comes to disciplines and habits, says, a discipline is an activity within our power that we engage in order to enable us to get to some place we can't get by direct effort. So if I am in a bad place physically, I know I can't wake up tomorrow and say, by direct effort, I'm healthy today, right? So it is within your power. So I love this list, and I love what we're trying to say. A pastor once said something, said, do something, do anything. Make a decision that you can do. Do something that isn't this like, I'm gonna go to CrossFit, even though that'd be wonderful, but I'm gonna go and do this crazy thing. No, do one little thing. Eliminate one little thing. Add one little thing. And then the habits, you begin to see, you know, Dave Ramsey always says, pay off the small credit card first so you feel like you've succeeded. Don't think I'm going to take care of the big debt first. And for some of us, that will stop us. And that makes it hard because I want the immediate thing. And it's just easier to not do anything than to do something.
Also, anytime we're making a change, I know like With me, I started to do personal training. I had an injury that I'm recovering from. And one of the things that my trainer told me, he was like, you know, don't try to be in here for more than an hour. Because your body, if you're working out your body correctly, your body can't just, it can't take too much more than that. And even bodybuilders, they'll work out for about an hour, hour and a half, and then they're coming back to the gym on a whole totally different body part. And that's just, it's just the science behind it that you actually need that time to heal. And so sometimes people think they just have, you know, oh, I have to start going to the gym again. Let me spend 15 hours in the gym. And it's like, no, just spend 45 minutes to an hour. And that's it. Leave after that. And that has really helped myself and my wife and our journey to where when we see we're there about hour 15 minutes, we're like, okay, we're done. And, you know, it really has helped us stay on schedule and keep it in my schedule. So
bite-size goals, that's a big deal. Bite-size goals. Psychologists will tell you that. Elaine told us that. Like, well, can I cut dessert for a week? Bite-size attainable goal. You have a victory at the end of the week. All right, now I'm ready for something else. You know, I want to end our time with something that Jesus said as he was being harassed for hanging out with the wrong kind of people. Jesus was hanging out with people who were labeled sinners. He was hanging out with people who were sick and labeled cursed. He was hanging out with people who did not have it all together. They were not the elites of society. And he was asked, why are you hanging out with these people? And Jesus said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. And I look at that and I broaden that to think, you know, Jesus loves hanging out with people who are on a journey, not people who think, oh, I've got it all wired. Right. They feel perfect. They look perfect. You know, that's Jesus didn't come for those who are, you know, at the top of their game. He came for those of us who are on a journey. And if all of us were to be honest, we're all on a journey. Absolutely. We're all on a journey with God. We're all on a journey emotionally. We're all on a journey physically. And that's what we're talking about today, is just on a journey. And Jesus is coming alongside of us, as he did 2,000 years ago with these people he was hanging out with. And he's saying, you know what? I just want you to know, with all your struggles, you're good with me. God is a heavenly Father, and he loves you. No matter how many rounds you've been through this, and you might think of yourself as, you know, I failed and I'm not going to do it, you feel bad about yourself, let Jesus tell you, as he did back then, you are good with God. God loves you just as you are. You don't have to prove anything to God. You don't have to change one thing. You're free. And just to enjoy that and to be good with that and to love yourself and to love your body just as it is. But then to also have this invitation, it's a gracious invitation. Is there one small change you can make that could make a big difference later on? The answer for all of us is probably. I could probably make one decision. And we happen to be making this decision on Super Bowl Sunday, which we're all going to gorge ourselves on the worst food. And it's just going to happen. We're just going to do it. All of us. We're going to do it. We're making a bunch of junk tonight. Processed meats like you wouldn't even believe. And we're starting tomorrow. So we're going to start tomorrow.
No veggies.
No veggies allowed. Jalapeno poppers, though. Not this year.
That sounds so good.
We'll buy some jalapenos.
So there's trouble. There's trouble in the Treadway house. But yeah, you have a testimony? You
know, I do have a testimony.
Go ahead. Close us out.
So I will close you out with this testimony. You know, I've been on a journey for a little while, but we just started this 75 Hard. We're in our 14th day again. And so we're in the gym constantly. And one of the things that really excited me the other day is as my wife and I was waking up, she just reached over and said, hey, good morning, and touched my arm and was like, ooh, I feel your muscles. And I was like, yeah, yes! I was so happy. So if you actually put the work in, people will notice, and she noticed. Thank you for noticing, baby.
You know, you could do that.
Sorry.
All right. Hey, on that, we're going to pray. God, we thank you for our time together to deal with what is just very honestly such a sensitive and difficult subject for so many people. And we just pray that your love and grace would be upon us all, that we would have our spirits lifted, that we would feel good about ourselves, that we would embrace ourselves, as your word says, to love ourselves. And in that confidence and in that freedom, there is this gracious invitation. Can we make one little decision that could have great results in our lives? And so God, would you just do your work in every single one here? It could be that the victory today is that, you know what, I'm free to do nothing and I'm going to do nothing. And that is a victory for today. It could be that some people make some decisions to move a little more, eat a little less. God, do things that could really make us feel better. to embrace it, that our bodies are sacred. They're gifts from your spirit to us that we can enjoy and we want to enjoy in longevity and in quality of life. So God, just guide and direct and lead in a spirit of grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.